We just want to make sure that the rights of these individuals to their own counsel and that the otherwise privileged communication is not violated in the discovery. And right now I cannot say for certain exactly what type of discovery would necessarily not even touch that. It would be difficult for me to narrow that. If we could, we'd be glad to work with the court and see what we can do. But right now we cannot agree or we oppose any lifting of the stay.
How many former employees of the Y are represented by your firm?
We have represented 11 former employees. And right now, of course, we are prohibited from representing them simultaneously with the Y. There are numerous other former employees who are fact witnesses. In fact, at least one or two were noticed at one time in between the first mandamus in the Dallas court and here. So as far as the number of additional former employees, I don't have that number offhand, but...
Is there any question that they can fire you if they wanted to?
They have the right to choose us, and we make, and contrary to the argument that was intimated, we make that very clear. They don't have to use our law firm. If they wish to fire us and hire another lawyer, like Ms. Cecil did with Mr. Tyser, they can do that. Yes, Your Honor.
Have any other former employee witnesses exercised that right?
To my knowledge, no, Your Honor. Mrs. Hensel is the only former employee who we have represented who has retained another attorney. There was no finding.
Is that the only employee that may be characterized by plaintiffs in this case as in a supervisory capacity?
Was Ms. Hensel the only one characterized as in supervisory capacity?
Yeah.
No, in fact, she testified at her deposition that she really didn't have supervisory capacity.
I understand. That's before the so-called taint. You know, I mean, that's the taint was admitted. I mean, so anything she said in the deposition, in my view, if we were to accept, you know, her affidavit, it was tainted because she was coached and she testified in a manner that she would not have testified but for the advice of counsel.
That's a very interesting point, and I want to hit on that briefly right now. The first order references that her testimony had been tainted. The non-pro-tunk kept that language. The order before you does not have it. It just says that we abuse the discovery process in the preparation of Margaret Hensel. Now, to my knowledge, there has been no statement by Ms. Hensel or any other party that everything I said in the deposition was wrong. There has been no motion to strike her deposition. In fact, when the court struck all the depositions in the first order, he unstruck them. The non-pro-tunk said, well, I'm going to hold that and rule on that later. In the second order, which is before this court now, it expressly deletes striking the deposition. The deposition has not been stricken. To my knowledge, no one has said, well, everything I said in there is true or is false, therefore, we can't use it. In fact, I believe it's probably wanting to be used. Plaintiffs oppose the striking of the depositions. They want the depositions. Interestingly,
I guess it would be Mr. Tyser's obligation as her counsel then to take care of that chore, not since you no longer represent him.
If he feels that his client's deposition is tainted and has falsities, then he can move the strike, or the plaintiffs can move the strike, but no one, to my knowledge, has
or
done
to amend or to correct?
Yes. It has not been corrected, to my knowledge. Nothing has been done to her testimony. In fact, she had her own counsel there at the deposition. She counseled with him. He objected. He took her out of the witness room
from
and
your
advised
law
her at the deposition.
From your law firm?
No, sir. Mr. Tyser, Your Honor, Mr. Tyser represented Ms. Hensel at her deposition.
Your firm did not represent her at the tainted deposition, the so-called tainted deposition?
That's correct, Your Honor. We were not her counsel at the deposition.
So this all relates to pre-deposition?
Preparation. Yes, Your Honor. They're claiming that Mr. Hurst tried to suborn perjury from Ms. Hensel, tried to tell her untruths. But in the record that was before the court, and you have the entire record.
He was not present during the deposition. He was no longer representing her during the deposition.
He or someone from our firm was present at the deposition.
But not representing her.
That is correct, Your Honor.
So all this happened, all this coaching, you know, the witness, Ms. Hensel, occurred before the deposition, allegedly.
That is correct.
So she had independent counsel, Mr. Tyser, at her deposition.
The day before her deposition, she meets with Mr. Hurst from my firm, Colton Thompson. That evening, she consults her, I think it's a probate attorney who gets her, Mr. Kaiser, a trial lawyer. He meets with her sometime between then and her deposition. He represents her at her deposition. We are not representing her at the deposition. He objects on her behalf. He advises her. He instructs her not to answer. He takes her out. He was her lawyer at the deposition.
Chronology was she met with your firm's lawyer the day before the deposition. Spent, what, an hour and a half?
Yes, Your Honor.
And at second thoughts that evening, next morning, contacted Mr. Kaiser. Mr. Kaiser accompanied her to the deposition that afternoon. Subsequently, she filed this affidavit some 6 days after the deposition. Is that correct?
Exactly, Your Honor.
She had, is there any indication of how much time she had to consult with Mr. Kaiser before he accompanied her to the deposition?
I believe
the
testimony. I don't know exactly how much time, but Mr. Tyser and Ms. Hensel testified to that. I do know that he had some opportunity to meet with her prior to the deposition. I see my...
Any other questions?
I have a question. You made part of your argument challenging this order was that the offensive conduct that occurred in connection with another case. However, how do you respond to Professor Edgar's comments that her testimony would be the same, whether this case or in the other cases that are coming down the pike. So her testimony and the conduct is all would be the same, whether this case or all the other cases. Furthermore, it was on your motion that the cases were consolidated.
I'll address the sameness of the testimony first. This deposition was attended by counsel for the Lanes, and for the YMCA and its co-defendant. There were, at that time, seven other cases, eight total, pending. Plaintiff's counsel here do not represent all the plaintiffs in those cases. The attorneys for two other plaintiffs, or groups of plaintiffs, were not at that deposition. Contrary to the argument intimated, these depositions were not being used, didn't have all the styles and have all the courts, and would be filed in each court. The plaintiff's lawyers in those other cases were not present at Ms. Henson's deposition. So we would trust that a witness, if asked the same question, would be consistent if asked by other lawyers subsequently. But her testimony could be different in, if the questions were different by other attorneys. Two other lawyers, two other cases, were not present at this deposition. And secondly, regarding the motion to consolidate. Indeed, we filed that motion to consolidate, but it was overruled, not held in abeyance. In fact, it's in our brief that it was overruled, and not until today has that ever been contested. It was overruled, and the respondent asked the plaintiff's counsel, please submit an order to me in 7 days. None was submitted. So there was not a written order, but it was denied, and we withdrew our motion just to cover ourselves prior to the July 8th hearing.
Do you contend that any of these other former employees had supervisory responsibility?
That these other employees may have supervisory?
At any time in their work with the Y, that they had any supervisory responsibility or managerial responsibility?
The 10 other ones that we have represented in the past?
Yes.
As not the trial lawyer who was present at those depositions, I cannot answer affirmatively if they all had, or any of them had, supervisory authority. I'll be more than happy to supplement that question.
Did any of them have any responsibility or contact with a national Y?
I did not know if any of those four employees had responsibility for that contact. No, Your Honor. I don't know that.
Any of these that you are have been told by the trial or the subject of this mandamus that you can't represent, you don't know whether they had any responsibility for contact with the national Y or not?
I do not personally know. I can find that information and give that to the court.
Would you do so?
I would be more than happy. Both on contact with the National Y as well as supervisory authority, I'll be more than happy to provide that.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.